The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
And a very good afternoon to you. It's Brenda Donoghue here. I'm in for Ray today. So I suppose, how are we all doing? Normally, I'd ask that kind of a question after a weekend and expect answers like, yeah, grand, kids' birthday party, had the in-laws around for Sunday lunch, bought a new sofa. But I think under the current circumstances, I really mean, how are we all doing? Do let me know, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. One thing for certain, though, and I know we were chatting about it on the team here, I have been really inspired by the positivity, the kindness, the camaraderie, and I suppose the sound attitude of people and communities in response to the coronavirus, rolling up their sleeves and whatever they can do to help approach. And it's particularly evident on social media, and it's really uplifting to hear all the ways people, communities and businesses are supporting, particularly the elderly and the frontline staff. And I thought, and maybe it helped me out in this, we'd put together a list, maybe a shout out to those who maybe in their own thoughtful, selfless ways are doing so much to help others. You've probably heard of some of these already, but, you know, why not? Let's do a list here on the programme this afternoon. You know, there's the, I suppose is well known at this stage, there's the Twitter hashtag self-isolation help, and that has now over 2,500 volunteers from all over the country ready, willing and able to safely deliver groceries, meds to the elderly, self-isolating or vulnerable neighbours. And then there's another hashtag on Twitter. Again, really impressive how people have rallied around. It's hashtag Feed the Heroes, and it's set up by a guy called Kino Flaherty. And it already has about €40,000 on its GoFundMe page. And they are sending good food to healthcare staff. And Supermax is offering free meals to the emergency services. Circle K is also offering free hot drinks to HSE frontline staff. You heard Joe there saying that Lidl were going to open between 9 and 11 for some of the slightly older customers. I think Supervalue in Dundalk did that today. I know Iceland Foods in West Belfast will be opening their store between 8 and 9 for the elderly tomorrow. Dungarvan GAA Club in County Meath is delivering shopping packages to the elderly, particularly those living in isolated areas. And there are lots of people putting up cookery and exercise classes online to occupy the kids. I saw boxer Eric Lightning O'Donovan has a fitness class on his Facebook page, and the list goes on and on and on and on. But look, there are people out there who, doesn't matter whether it's a big gesture or a small gesture, they are going out of their way to help those in their community and those who are feeling vulnerable and maybe frightened today. So if you want to give them a shout out and just acknowledge their gesture, let's do it. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Let's give them a good shout out. Now, it's a different kind of programme today as we're restricting the number of live guests in the studio for obvious reasons. But with St. Patrick's Day tomorrow, let's play a few, I think, great Irish tunes from some of the bands and singers out there. Let me know what you'd like to hear and why. We will do our best, 51551, with your suggestions. Tonight on Virgin Media 1 at 10 a.m, there's a new series called You, Me and Surrogacy. And we are going to have two of the couples from that series, and they're going to tell us their experiences. Also later on in the show, we will have Conor Pope, who normally has a lot to say, but can you imagine the amount he has to say today? And he'll have plenty of advice on your travel rights and the pandemic unemployment payment announced by the government to help people who lost work because of the coronavirus outbreak. So if you have any questions for Conor, you can email ray@rte.ie or text 51551. And just on a bit of a sparkle note, a big congratulations to Lottie Ryan and Pascali, winners of Dancing with the Stars. Now, it was actually quite emotional because I think for many people who would have worked with her dad, Jerry, over the years, and I did for about 20 years, maybe more, say nothing. But, you know, to see Lottie there and to think of him, and I kind of have grown up with her and her progression through Jerry, because he talked about her and all his children so much. And she really was a ray of sunshine then, as she is now. So I was really delighted. And I was remembering back to a time when the programme was away and we were working in Florida. Sounds great, doesn't it? Nice to do it again at some stage. But anyway, we were away at Florida, in Florida, and we went to a movie and we went to see Pocahontas. And the character Pocahontas reminded Jerry at that moment profoundly of Lottie. And he looked at me, and I'd no kids, and he said, "You've no kids." I said, "No," at that stage. He said, "I just miss her so much. You just couldn't believe how much I just want to be with her right now, not with you." I said, "Thanks very much." But anyway, so I know today there would, if he was around, there would be absolutely no living with him. And I felt very much like a proud auntie. So well done, Lottie and Pasquale. I hope you're having a great break today. And you were fantastic. And they were all fantastic. And to put that show together last night without an audience at short notice, and to actually recreate a final, was not easy. I did think the trio thing was a bit odd. But anyway, I thought they were amazing. I couldn't do it. But well done, Lottie. Extremely, extremely proud of you. And that comes from the heart. Anyway, oh yeah, another thing. Discover Ireland have sent us in a list of suggested walks. And they are saying that some of the more popular areas that people go for walks in, and which tomorrow being Patrick's Day and a lot of people might be out walking, etc., that these areas can get quite congested and we all must practice our social distancing. And they have given me a list of alternative walks, walks to discover new trails of different lengths and variety. We're going to put them up on the Ray D'Arcy website, but there's 13 of them. I won't go through them all, but you have everything there from Slieve File Loop in Carlingford Lock to Kinnity Castle in Slieve Bloom in County Offaly to Glencolum Hill Tower Loop in County Donegal. But there's loads of brilliant suggestions there. That's discoverireland.ie if you're going out for a walk. And we all need a little bit of relief to get outdoors from, I suppose, the stress of being indoors and trying to be calm and trying to do the right thing and trying to occupy the kids and trying to get a bit of exercise and trying to stop snacking and trying to not sit down and look at Netflix all day and do something productive with your day. And it's great to get out. And as I said, some of the more popular areas are getting clogged up. So they have a really good list of suggestions, and we have them as well on the Ray D'Arcy Show website. Brenda. Hi, Brenda. Just a thought. All the mammies like me are using this opportunity to clean out wardrobes, bookshelves, toy boxes, etc. Could we keep everything that when it's all over, the charity shops can benefit from the isolation clear out that's happening, said Sinead in Dundalk. Good idea. Because I was going to do that. I was thinking I might do kind of a drawer a day, a box a day. It is a great opportunity. That's a great idea. Thanks a million, Sinead. And can I give a shout out to my daughter, Naomi, a paediatric doctor working on the front line in New York's Bronx Lebanon Children's Hospital. And my other daughter, Becky, a doctor on the front line in Beaumont Hospital at the moment. They are my heroes, said your mother. Well, a shout out to both of them. Well done. You're doing amazing work. I presume you haven't got time to hear us giving you a shout out, but it comes from your mother and she is definitely thinking about you. And another thing I was just obviously thinking about, and I'm sure we've heard a lot of this already, but you know, over the next couple of weeks, people had planned some very important big life events like a wedding, an engagement party, lots of confirmations, an 80th birthday. But all of this has to be cancelled, and it is so hard. Of course, it's for the greater good. But, you know, it is like an ache. I have, my mum and dad are both in their early 80s, although they wouldn't like me saying that, but they are. And they live every day. They live so much of their lives for the grandchildren and they help mind them and all that stopped. And it's so hard. It's hard for all of us because I feel bad for them, you know, missing them. And I know we can Skype or FaceTime. We can't really because, like, my mother isn't great in the technology front. We have to up that. So it is just hard. But if you want somebody to know that in spite of the circumstances, you are thinking about them, you're caring about them, you're missing them, then just give us a text here, 51551, email ray@rte.ie, and we'll do our best to let them know. Hi, Brenda. Let's not forget the pharmacies and all the pharmacy staff working as ever on the front line of healthcare. They have received so little attention as usual and deserve full credit for the superb service that they provide to the public. And so say all of us. That's from Gillian. And we all go to Mass as a family. Very strange not to have it at the moment, says Frank. And then I am a senior age member of society. Wonderful news that my art class teacher, John Nolan from Dublin, is now putting our classes online. Well done, John, and thanks a bunch. Please say a big shout out to Base Pizzas. They're supplying frontline staff in the Children's Hospital in Crumlin, Vincent's in Dublin Forum, Beaumont Hospital. This is a small company that opened their first shop in Terranure. They're beyond generous, said Kate Farrell. We'll keep them coming in. 51551. Some great Irish music on the show today, and none better than the stunning and Brewing Up a Storm. Oh, I needed that little bop. Thank you very much. That's the stunning there and Brewing Up a Storm. Do send in your suggestions for some great Irish music here right up until 4:30. Delighted to play it. Brenda, please give a big shout out to all the staff at Moy Transport from Ballina, County Mayo. They're a great bunch of lads delivering to chemists, hospitals throughout the north and northwest. They're working long hours every day to have supplies on the shelf of chemists and some of our hospitals. Thank you for all your hard work and dedication. You're all working on the front line. Mind yourselves, said Mary. Keep washing your hands. Yes, of course, said yes, of course, we will, Mary. So coming up, we're going to take a break now, but coming up after the break, we're going to meet some of the couples who are part of a new series, You, Me and Surrogacy, which airs on Virgin Media One tonight. Can't wait to hear the story. 51551, ray@rte.ie.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yes, and welcome back to the show. God, there's lots of shout outs today for people who are really putting themselves out there and helping others, which is what you do in these unprecedented times. Hi, Brenda. My uncle attends a daycare centre in St Mary's in Rathmines. They've had to close but are now delivering dinners to people who would usually attend. They're even going to do it tomorrow. Thank you all. Hi, Brenda. Give a shout out to the Vintage Kitchen in Poole Beg Street, who are cooking for frontline staff and local hospitals in their local area. They are heroes, said Deirdre. And a big thank you to all the staff in Piemont Healthcare Newcastle, who are doing Trojan work at present under very difficult circumstances and looking after our loved ones in nursing homes. From Noel's daughter, St Kieran's Ward, a big hug to him. So lots of people helping out today. Keep them coming in. We're happy to at least acknowledge them. 51551. Now, as fertility problems continue to rise, with as many as one in five Irish couples affected, and with more same-sex parent families becoming a visible part of contemporary Irish society, surrogacy is becoming much, much more prevalent. Brand new series, You, Me and Surrogacy, airs on Virgin Media One tonight at 10 o'clock. And I'm joined by two of the couples featured in the documentary. In studio with me, I have Brendan Spratt and Gavin McConnell. And on the phone, we have Nadia. First of all, Brendan and Gavin, how are you? You're sitting a little bit away from me for obvious reasons.
Yes.
You've had a very tough day today, you were telling me before we even talk.
Yeah,
about surrogacy. Can you explain why?
A day of huge mixed emotions for us today. On the one hand, we're very excited that the documentary is airing tonight. Mm-hmm. It's been a real labour of love over the past year and a half. On the other hand, it's been an extremely tough day for us with our business. We own a franchise of an Australian fitness studio called F45. We run three fitness studios, myself and Gavin. And unfortunately today, we had to make the tough decision to close the studios. The right decision. So it's been a very tough emotional day.
Yeah. How many staff, Gavin, are you talking about there?
We've 22 people between full and part-time. And we're doing our best to figure out a way to go forward. So as Brendan was saying this morning, when we made the decision that we have to close really in the interests of our trainers and our members, we straight away started looking at doing online programmes. And in fact, when we leave the studio here today, we leave the RTE studio today. We're going to our fitness studio and we're going to start recording digital online content with some of our trainers, and we're hoping to pull it all together, edit it and get it ready to go out at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
And that way you're going to try and save some of the jobs.
We'd love to save some of the jobs, yeah. And we'd love, you know, our members are passionate about fitness and we'd love that they can actually participate at home. Like, we're not sure how long this lockdown is going to go on, but, you know, people need to exercise, not just for their physical health, but their mental health as well. Yeah. So it'd be great if we could, bring something into their homes on YouTube or Vimeo or some sort of streaming platform where they can keep up with their fitness, keep in touch with their fitness community and their studios.
It is so tough, isn't it? Yeah, it is, yeah. You know, it's the reality of saying to people, well, look, you know, we have to close up. You're going to have to go home. We don't know, especially if they're part-time or,
hard. These guys all have rent and mortgages to pay and kids and things like that. And it's like, this is not just our story. This is happening in every business
everywhere
up and down Ireland this morning. And it's shocking. People don't know what to do. I think the government are putting some great supports out there for small business at the moment. And people are just figuring out how to navigate those.
I know. It's such an overload of information.
It absolutely is. Yeah. I suppose we're all going to get through this in the end, but it's going to be a difficult few months.
So it's going to test a lot of families. And let's talk about your family. Yeah. First of all, how did you meet? How long are you a couple?
We are married 5 years and we were together 9 years before that. So we're together 14 years. We probably met 2 years before that. We met at a dinner party through friends and we became friends for a few years. And then, we were on a group holiday and love blossomed. And fast forward 14 years and here we are. With a fitness business and two beautiful children.
Okay, two. So let's start. So obviously, neither of you could go through the process of giving birth.
Yes.
Right?
I think that was a given early on that we needed some outside help to make this happen.
Did you talk about having children or having a family? Was that something that was in your heads before you actually met each other? Did you think, well, actually, I want to be a father someday, a parent?
I think I did. I liked the idea of being a father, but I honestly didn't think it was ever going to be an option. I think surrogacy and it is really something that's just come to the fore in the past few years. I think we're just really blessed to be at the age we are where it was an option for us. I think during our 20s we were just living our lives. We've had a great life. We went to Australia together and we traveled the world and we built up our business. So we were busy with that. It was never like something was missing in our life.
Didn't have that little TikTok.
No,
it did start though. Like when we were getting married at our own wedding, we had been talking about it a little bit for a while before that, and then we have another same-sex couple, friends of ours, who were going through surrogacy, and they were actually telling us about it at our wedding. And I think after that, it really kind of stuck in our minds. We were like, well, we know somebody who's doing this. It is possible. If we want to do this, we can do this. Mm. And we were also quite aware that we were getting older and that if we wanted to do this, it was something that we kind of wanted to do while we, you know, still had the, you know, I'm an early 40s dad and I can tell you it gets tiring sometimes. So,
I know.
So I think it was now or never. And yeah, we made that decision that let's do this.
Yeah. And did you sit down, when did you make the decision and how did you go about progressing it?
I guess at our wedding, as Gavin said, our two friends came home from, they were living in Israel and they told us that they were starting their surrogacy journey. And suddenly before then, it was like Elton John or people. Yeah. It just seemed unattainable for us. But suddenly someone in our lives were doing it. And then it really became present in our lives. And we had a Skype call with them and then we started doing our research. So it was really, we went on a long honeymoon to Australia where we had some breathing space. And then we set up our calls with the surrogacy agency and the IVF clinic and kind of had those calls and it just felt right. And we just dived in then.
Yeah.
You didn't. So what you're saying is you thought about it, but you didn't think too much about it.
We thought about it enough that we kept talking about it. And we said, well, look, there's no harm in setting up some calls. So most of the providers are based in the States or the providers that we'll deal with same-sex couples. So we set up a Skype call with a surrogacy agency in the US and a IVF clinic and an egg donor clinic and all the people that we'd need to talk to if we were serious about this. And we did all this from our kind of honeymoon in Bondi Beach from our laptop there. And, you know, pages and pages of notes and all these Skype calls later. And we're like, okay, well, this is how we do it. It's still very complicated and we don't quite understand the whole process, but this is the process. And if we want to do it, we need to kind of, you know, take the next step, which was actually engage these clinics and providers and actually start the ball rolling, I suppose.
Were now Ireland has changed so much and it's so progressive and all of that. But did you have any worry saying, oh God, if we do bring a child, then there's two dads or two mums, what will people say? Will they think? Did that enter your head at all? Or did you think, no, this is what we want and, you know, we're going to go for it?
I really don't think it was ever really a concern. I think it's possible that we live in a slight bubble. People talk about living in bubbles now, and we live in a bubble where, you know, our families are amazing, our friends are amazing. We have a huge support network around us, and it just, so we've never experienced anything on the negative side.
I think, though, being gay, we, and growing up in the 90s, myself and Gavin both kind of faced a bit of bullying. And so we were at the stage where we don't really care what other people think. It was a decision that was right for us. And we knew that we'd have the support of our family and friends. And we have had an incredible amount of support from our family and friends. So really, for us, I just didn't really care about what others would think once the important people cared.
Yeah.
All right. Well, before I find out about your journey and the babies and all of that, can I just call in Nadia Devon there? Hi, Nadia.
Hiya, Brenda. How are you?
I'm great. And I'm really interested in your story. But I just want, before I hear it, I want to pick up on something that the guy said, because I know that you run a website. If I was going to look at surrogacy, I wouldn't know where to start. So where do people start? Because I know this is something that you're really involved in.
Yeah, and that's kind of where we found ourselves. When we first started, we didn't know where to start. And like Brendan and Gavin were saying there, it was all Google searches and kind of finding out from friends that had did it, or friends or friends. So that's why I started up my own website and my own kind of blog. It's called Two Peas, Not My Pod. And yeah, I thank my sister for that name. I can't take credit for that.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. You are with George, is that right?
Yeah, so myself and George are married now 6 years this year, and we're going out about 11 years, I'd say.
Okay. What happened to you? Why was surrogacy your option?
So in 2011, I was diagnosed with cancer. So before I started treatment or had any operations or anything, one of the doctors that was in the hospital during one of my lengthy stays in hospital mentioned to me that maybe it's an idea if you go and kind of talk to somebody about your fertility before any of this starts. And I said, oh God, no, this is something that didn't even enter my head. I thought, God, no, I've enough to be doing. I've enough going on. Maybe I'll look at it afterwards. And, you know, he said, no, it's something that you need to do before you do treatment and before you have treatment, because all of this may affect your fertility. So off we went to it's the IVF clinic in the Rotunda, and I was given 6 weeks basically to do one round of IVF before chemo started. So it was successful, thank God, and we froze 14 embryos, and then 2 days later I started chemo.
God, that's a lot of stress to take on in your life, isn't it?
IVF is hard enough. If anyone's gone through it, it's a hard process. It's not an easy road. But, you know, I was more than willing to do it to protect any kind of future family or future chance we had at having a family. So we just kind of took it by both hands and just went for it, you know.
And Nadia, do you mind me asking, what form of cancer did you have?
So I had bowel cancer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I had chemo. There's actually two tumours, and my first large operation, they removed half an ovary. And it wasn't when, so the first time I had chemo, I had a long operation, more chemo after that. But unfortunately, then a year later, I was having 3 month checkups, there was a reoccurrence. So I had to go through it all again. and then they added the radiotherapy in on top of it just for good measure the next time. But thankfully, I'm here to tell the tale. You know, they were fantastic. Everybody in the Mater Hospital, I couldn't praise them enough. They saved my life on many occasions.
And I suppose in the back of your head, you knew, well, I have 14 eggs, you know, or embryos frozen.
Embryos frozen. We always had that in the back of our head. Yeah, and it's probably something that kept me going as well. You know, it was the hope of, you know, saying, you know, we have the embryos. And unfortunately, on the second, and when I had the reoccurrence as part of one of the operations, they had to do a hysterectomy, and I suppose that's why I couldn't use the embryos myself.
Okay, so that's why you went for surrogacy, yeah, as an option. But lads, I suppose this television programme is coming on tonight, but they followed you for how long?
Just over a year, really. Yeah.
Just over a year.
Yeah, probably about 15 months, something like that. Yeah.
Okay, so tell me about your surrogate, or the woman who I suppose bore the children.
Yeah, she's an amazing person.
How did you find her?
We went through an agency. Yeah. So as I said, we did a lot of research for myself and Gavin. We needed three different agencies: a surrogacy agency, an IVF clinic, and an egg donor agency. So once you do all the research and find the right agency, then the hard work should be done. So the surrogacy agency said they were going to find us the perfect surrogate, and they really did. We only ever were given one option about 9 months after we signed up with them.
Yeah, we filled in a profile and we included a wedding picture, which is us and our dog Rufus, and, you know, made ourselves as appealing as possible. It's kind of like going on the ultimate dating side.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what's this person who, you know, is most likely going to be in the US who's going to carry a child for an Irish couple? So it's very strange
to
put
us
together a one-page document that likes us. Yeah, and then it was a waiting game. Yeah. And they kind of said it probably take 6 to 9 months. And we were actually away on holidays with my family. We were on this kind of once-in-a-lifetime trip. We were on a train journey through Africa.
You travel a lot. I'm very jealous.
We were travelling. We were on a train through Zimbabwe heading to Zambia. And we woke up. It was a sleeping train. And we woke up and we checked our phone. And we had internet access that for 10 seconds, 20 minutes,
yeah,
or whatever it was. And I downloaded the email. And I said to Brendan, I said, look, they've matched us with somebody. And we managed to open her profile, which is also a one-page profile. And it said her name is Noelle. And she lives in Denver in Colorado. She's married with 3 children. She works as a pharmacist. And like, we looked and we're like, oh my God, this looks perfect. And we're emailing straight back before we lost our internet signal and say, yes, set up the call, you know. And when we got back from that holiday, they set up a Skype call with her and her husband and the surrogacy agency kind of in the middle. And we probably had like an hour, hour and a half Skype call just to ask all the questions and the awkward questions and decide if this was something we all wanted to do together.
You would think, right, say a pharmacist, 3 children, husband. Like, has she not enough going on?
This woman is superwoman.
Go out with your hair straight in the morning at the same time.
Yeah.
So why did she decide and why did she pick you guys? Do you know?
I think she'll probably tell it really well in the documentary that goes out this evening. But she did say that she had her 3 children and her family was now complete. And that this was something she always wanted to do for somebody. She always had easy pregnancies, I think. She enjoyed being pregnant. She didn't have any complicated deliveries, because I don't think you would do this for somebody else if you had difficult pregnancies or complicated deliveries. And she was just like, I want to do this for somebody else. And therefore, she signed up with a surrogacy agency pretty much straight after her youngest baby was born.
Yeah. And when you met her, was it just this instant connection or gratitude, or were you nervous? Were you sidestepping around each other?
We were very nervous. We flew to Denver, Colorado, and we got a taxi to their house with our suitcases. And we were kind of on a bigger trip, and we kind of ringing the doorbell. And I think it was the day after Thanksgiving, was it?
Yeah.
The American holiday.
I remember that feeling in the taxi of like total butterflies, like about to go for the most important job interview of your life or the most important day. It was almost like the butterflies I was getting on my wedding day, because I knew how important this was. And I think the one word I'd use to describe our relationship with Noelle and Richard is easy. It's everything since the day we met them has just been so easy. Like, we all just get along so well. Conversation always flows, and we just really enjoy their company. If we met them, like, say if I was to start a job and Noelle was working there, I think like we would have become friends anyway. So we just we both feel very lucky, and we had such a good surrogacy journey with Theo that when we were approached about being in the documentary, we thought it was such a positive experience.
Oh, you've just given it away. Oh,
we really
have a little boy.
Yeah,
and more.
Oh, Theo's number one, so Theo's in episode 1 tonight. But we knew we were hoping to start a second surrogacy journey, so the documentary actually follows the second journey.
Wow. And Nadia, can you tell me, how did you find your surrogate?
So similar to the lads there, yeah, we went through an agency as well. We signed up with an agency that was in Boston, and it was actually on our honeymoon that we went to visit them as well. So and like Brendan was saying, our profile that we set up for, for finding, being matched with surrogate, we included our wedding photographs as well, we were matched as well, kind of in the same kind of process through our agency.
And who is she? Who is the woman? What's she like?
She's just such a caring, lovely woman. Her name is Tiffany, and we just love having her in our lives. She's like one of the family. It was just really easy conversation. We get on really well. She's just caring. She has two children. When we met her, she had a daycare centre, so she had always had children around her. She had two really nice pregnancies, two beautiful children, and herself and her husband just decided that they wanted to give something back and help another couple.
And when you heard that the embryo had been successfully implanted, what was that like? Was that just amazing? I mean, I know the birth and all that must be fantastic and everything.
Yeah.
But just to think we're on the road, was that the moment?
It was the moment, yeah. Kind of all the heartache and the operations and the hospitals and all the bad news kind of just filtered away into that one lovely little moment of that Tiffany's pregnant. You know, because I was there for the transfer with her, and I saw it, and it was lovely just for everything just to be working out and being a happy story and hopefully a happy ending at that point. We were just hoping that everything would go to plan.
And then what happened when you went for your scan?
So we Skyped Tiffany for, it was an early scan, it was a 6-week scan. So I was sitting in my kitchen at home and she was in a hospital in Iowa. And her friend had went with her to hold the phone, you know, up to the screen. So I didn't know what I was looking at. I'd only ever seen one scan before, and it was my sister when she was pregnant with her son. And it was a really late scan. So, like, he could see properly, you know, his head and his arms and his leg. He knew what everything was. But this was the only, I've never seen such an early scan before. And
they're like aliens. Sorry.
I didn't know what I was looking at. So I was in the kitchen. I was really confused. I was like, what is that? I can see something. So that's good. I was happy. I was like, I can see something flushing around there, but I'm not really sure what it is. But then the nurse typed up on the screen, twins. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, I can see two things. But I didn't know what I was looking at. And those two things were two babies.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? So yeah, she was expecting twins.
She was expecting twins. That one embryo split. Wow. And they say the way it was, where her pregnancy was, it would have split on the day of transfer.
Right. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, identical twin boys.
So you had identical twin boys. You're after skipping the story. It doesn't matter. You know, you've just reminded me. I've three, but my youngest, I was slightly older having him, and I was anxious, and I went to get, you know, one of these super duper high definition scans to be careful. So I came back with this thing that looked more than an alien, and I showed the scan to my mother, and I said, "Ma'am, look, I'm expecting." I said, "Oh my God." The glasses came out and she looked at the scan and she said, "Well, I tell you," she said, "I don't know if that's a boy or a girl, but I tell you one thing, it's on our side." And that was true. But it is so exciting, especially like what's wonderful and from hearing both your stories is that things seem to have gone well for you both. But I'm sure it's not that straightforward for many, many people. But if I could roll on, so the months are going by, you know, both of these wonderful women are carrying the babies. Tell me about the birth, guys, from your perspective. What happened? What were the plans?
Yeah, so with Theo's birth, we got to the US about 2 weeks beforehand just so that we could be there in case things happened a bit earlier than expected. Hospitals in America, first of all, are not like the hospitals in Ireland. They're wonderful, amazing places.
The hospitals in Ireland, especially now.
Yeah. So we checked into the hospital with Noelle, and her husband Richard was there. And the birth was just I've obviously never been to a birth before. I haven't seen too many images of a birth. It took longer than expected. I think the whole labour for Theo was...
Yeah, he was breached, so they had to do what's called a version. Mm. So thankfully, we went to hospital knowing he was going to be born that day, because if the it's called a version where they turn the baby. Mm-hmm. When they tried to turn him, if it wasn't successful, they were going to have to do an emergency cesarean. And if it was successful, they were going to induce labour. So they induced labour, and I think it was 20 hours, so it was a long day.
Yeah. But feeling it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But it was it was amazing. We were there and we did skin to skin, or
I cut the cord and we did skin to skin with him, and then we started feeding him, and Noelle had previously pumped some colostrum so that we could feed him with that as soon as he was born.
Yeah.
And so we got that into him.
That's the breast milk. The pre-breast milk,
which apparently has so many good
nutrients,
And then while we were in the States afterwards for about 10 days, she pumped breast milk for us. So we were able to keep him on breast milk for his first 10 days in the US, which is great.
So you have
little
boy, Theo,
yes.
And he is, how old is he now?
He was 2 in November, so he's, 15 months now?
I presume he's brought great joy.
He's brilliant. He's even today, this morning, in times of incredible stress and anxiety, just seeing his little face and waddling around and and laughing. And, you know, he's the light of our lives. Like, he's just, he's brought so much joy to our lives.
Yeah. And for both of you, it's the second surrogacy journey you go on is going to feature in the documentary. I'm not going to give it completely away, except to say that we have a little...
Should you say?
They said you could say.
Well, we have a little girl.
And what's her name?
Lily.
How old is she?
She was born on the 27th of December. So, well, she's 11 weeks now.
So all going well.
She is a dream baby. She is an amazing little baby. She's
saying that to people because so many people.
I know, don't worry. She'll start teething.
I know. We're aware that they all go through phases, but this week she has been an absolute dream.
Yeah. And Nadia, for you, you've twin boys. What are their names?
Theo and Zach. So it's Zach and Theo.
Same second Theo. Yeah, that's weird. But anyway. And was it difficult saying goodbye to the surrogate mum?
Yeah, it was hard saying goodbye. We all went to the airport together. She came with us to the airport to say goodbye, herself and her husband. It was hard to say goodbye. She still is a big part of our lives, but I suppose it was just the end of one chapter. Mm. The second chapter was just starting, I suppose. But it was hard when we went through kind of, you know, security, and you were heading towards passport control. There was, you know, I turned around and she was crying and I was crying, and, you know, I was holding minding the babies, and you just kind of wanted to go back and, you know, stay for a little bit longer or whatever. But no, it was very hard to say goodbye, but we knew we'd see each other again.
Well, you know, go ahead. The guys are nodding here in agreement. So you all felt the same thing.
Exact same experience for us, yeah.
So it is tonight. Yes, Brent.
Oh, yeah. I know. Like, it was very upsetting. And they added, I had Lily, who was only 6 pounds, in a sling. So I was crying with Noelle. But then, just trying to... Lily was slipping down the sling. And I was like, oh, yeah. It was
airport security, trying to get breast milk through, and all the drama that surrounds that. So, yeah.
It is amazing to talk to both of you, and Nadia as well, on the phone. I hope you all get through the next couple of weeks, particularly the guys with the business and everything, safe and well. It is on tonight.
Yes.
Virgin Media One. It is the first episode, so we do have a journey to go. You'll see the guys. You'll see they're very cute kids. We wish you the best of luck. Thanks a million for being part of the programme today. We'll take a break.
Thanks.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
And it's Brenda Donoghue in for Ray today. Now, on Mondays, normally we chat to our consumer champion, Conor Pope, from the Irish Times. I think we need you more today than we've ever needed you before, Conor. How are you doing?
I'm okay, Brenda. How are you?
I'm okay. And I know it must be an emotional day because there is a case in the Irish Times, of course, and we're thinking that person and their family and all our colleagues that we know there as well.
I know, absolutely. And I'd like to echo that, because obviously our thoughts are first and foremost with the person who has been diagnosed with coronavirus. But I just want to assure you that, like, the Irish Times is still open for business. We're still publishing online. We're still publishing in print. Everyone in the Irish Times is working from home. And it's been a kind of a huge effort on behalf of hundreds of people to make sure that the news gets out there both today, tomorrow and for the foreseeable future.
All right. Well, thanks, Conor. But this morning, I'm very, you know, I think we're all in shock at the fact that 140,000 workers have woken up to a very precarious situation. Where are they at? We know that there are, you know, measures in place. What do you make of it all? What would you say to them?
Well, listen, I mean, I think everyone has been using the word unprecedented quite a lot over recent days. But the idea that you would have 140,000 people, which would be maybe 50,000 people in pubs, 70,000 people across restaurants, and maybe 20,000 people in childcare, in the childcare sector. If you had, the idea that 140,000 people would lose their jobs in the space of a week is just unimaginable. But the government has acted quickly. So it's introduced a special COVID-19 emergency payment. That means that anybody who has lost their job as a result of the impact of the virus in the country can apply for an immediate payment. They do that online. It's very important that they don't go to the Intro offices. They will get a €203 basic payment for 6 weeks, after which the regular social welfare entitlements that they may be allowed or may be entitled to will kick in. So the idea is to get people over a very short hump. Now, the government is asking employers that can afford it to cover the €203 in the short term, and then it will reimburse them at a later date. Now, one of the reasons why the government is asking that is because it wants to ensure that the relationship that exists between employers and employees is maintained. Because I think the thing that's important to point out to your listeners, and everybody knows this, this is not forever. This will pass, and it will pass hopefully quickly. So the idea is not to lose all hope and not to say, OK, well, that's it. The economy's doomed. I'm doomed. We will get through this. And that's why the government is looking for employers that can afford it to cover the €203. Now, obviously, there's going to be an awful lot of employers out there who won't be able to cover that for their employees. So there will be a requirement from both the state, from employers and from individuals to work together to try and get through this unimaginable crisis.
Now, I'm just thinking, when you're faced with it and you go online, and that, how straightforward is it for somebody who's now in that situation where the restaurant is closed, the pub is closed, and they want to apply for the payment for their employer to pay them €203 a week? Is it straightforward? Is it easy to kind of manipulate around the website?
Well, I went onto the welfare.ie website just a few moments ago.
Yeah.
And it's very, you know, the form that you need is very prominent. So basically, you just need to get that form, fill it in and send it to the welfare, to the email address or to the regular address there. And the payments will be processed. So it's not complicated. And I think the government has made sure that they've stripped out an awful lot of the red tape that, you know, normally exists when you're interacting with the state. For multiple different reasons, but they've stripped away a lot of the red tape to make sure that it is as easy as possible. Now, there is strains on the website today, as you can imagine, because there's tens of thousands of people who are looking to access it and who are looking for information. But, you know, the system will work, and it will work for those people, and it'll get them over the hump.
How do you see it working? Banks have to play a part. Like, there's a massive domino effect has to happen here.
There is. But you see, the thing is, what we need here, and I've used the phrase before and I'll use it again, what we need here is social solidarity between everybody. So that means that if I was working in the hospitality sector and I was on a good income, I have a mortgage to pay or I have rent to pay or whatever it might be. But let's just take the mortgage scenario.
Yeah.
€203 a week is not going to cover my mortgage. We all know that. So what's going to be required, and the banks have said they will do this, is the banks are going to have to come up with solutions for people that won't impact on their long-term credit rating or their long-term capacity to borrow. So what I'm talking about is mortgage holidays for 3 months or for 6 months, just to get people over the hump, because the relationship that the banks have with us as citizens is going to be long. We're going to be here for the long haul, and they need to step up to the plate now, in much the same way that the Irish citizens and Irish taxpayers stepped up to the plate in 2008 when the financial crisis happened. We need the support of the banks. We need the support of the government. We need the support of employers where possible. And also, we need to support each other, because that's the really important thing. We all need to be looking out for each other across the board on every level.
Now, we talked about staff in restaurants and pubs and creches, but I think the aviation staff are going to be hit as well. How are the airlines looking today?
Oh, very, very bleak. I don't think there's an airline. I don't think there's an airline in the world that is looking at the current scenario with anything except the grimmest of pessimism. And there's a, so, for instance, what we saw earlier on this morning was Ryanair issued a release saying that within the next 7 to 10 days, they would probably have to ground all of their flights in the short term. And then over the course of April and May, they're looking at cutting their schedule by 80%, which is just enormous. You're looking at IAG, which is the parent company of British Airways and Aer Lingus, of course. They're looking at cutting their schedule by 75%. And there is industry analysts are saying that the airline industry just can't cope with this. And there will be an awful lot of them that will be technically bankrupt within weeks. But again, the point to remember is that tourism and the travel industry can rebound very quickly when the crisis abates. So it's terrible now. The airlines will need the support of governments across the board. They'll need the support of the European Union. But again, we can get through this. Now, what some of the airlines are doing is they're saying to people, you can change your, so if you have a booking in April or May, you can change your booking at no cost to another time. Now, of course, there's a difficulty there, because let's say if I booked a flight to Barcelona in April and I paid 100 euros and I'm now changing my flight to July. Well, the cost difference is going to be a lot more. The flights in July are going to cost more than the flights in May. They're not covering the differences there, but they are saying they won't impose booking fees on people who want to change to a future date. The alternative, of course, is if an airline cancels your flight, you're entitled to a refund of the flight, or you're entitled to a rerouting if that's possible. But the thing is now we're in a situation that we've never been in before. So we just have to wait and see exactly what's going to happen. But, you know, it's going to be very, very hard for an awful lot of people who had plans to travel in July and August. In fact, just only in the last couple of minutes, the European Commission has announced that it wants it's going to effectively close European Union airspace, or at least it's going to curtail air travel into the European Union in order to try and contain the spread of the illness.
Yeah, and I suppose holidaying at home isn't quite a huge option at the moment. You know what, Conor, we're thinking of you. Thank you so much. I'm sure a lot of people will be calling on you over the next while. Stay safe, and appreciate you talking to us with all your up-to-date information on the programme. We'll take a break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
God, I'm missing sport so much, whether it's on the telly or taking people training. We just miss it so much. You didn't realise, even if you're not out there and you're not kicking a ball centre field or you're not earning a huge Premier League salary, you just miss it being around on the radio, on the telly. It's going to be tough from that perspective because it provided so much entertainment and time. And just on that note, the Boys in Green, brilliant documentary looking at kind of Irish soccer around the whole Italian 90 thing is on the television tonight. It's brilliantly put together and it will cheer you up for half an hour at least anyway. So thank you, Damien, and thank you, Marion, on Nuoc there. Lots of shout outs I need to give. I want to say hi, Brenda. A big shout out to her daughter, Michelle Crowley, working on the front line in the Midland Regional Hospital in Tullamore. Keep safe. Love Mum and Dad in Ballybuffet, County Donegal. Hi, Brenda. Shout out to all the Topaz transport staff collecting the containers from the port. Goods for people of Ireland. Loyal Aporic for them tomorrow, but we'll be working again, said Niall Maloney in Carlow. I wish to acknowledge all the retail workers who are taking risks to serve the public during the corona pandemic measures. Thank you one and all, said Maria Coughlin, and so say all of us. And these are, as I think Conor Pope has said, unprecedented times, and we've heard that a lot, and it is important to look after yourself. And that includes getting out for some fresh air and prioritising your physical and mental well-being. Well, personal trainer Carl Henry joins me on the line now to offer advice. How are you today, Carl?
Brenda, good afternoon. I'm good. Trying to stay optimistic. Unprecedented times, as Conor was saying, as you said yourself. Mm-hmm. But I think we have to look after ourselves mentally, physically, nutritionally, as best we possibly can to help ourselves and our family and our loved ones get through these times, you know.
And how about your business? Is it open? I presume the gym is closed.
Yeah, we take the decision to shut. All my personal training sessions, I've offered my clients the ability to train them online, which I've been doing that through FaceTime for the last 12 months with clients who travel around the world at GoFit. So I tested it. It works. So I'm at home. I've been working from home this
closed until certainly 2 weeks, and we're just going to basically play it by ear. You know, we felt strongly enough about it that it's really important to do it, and we just need to give people the skills and the tools to stay healthy at home. And thankfully, so social media is a really good outlet for that now. So Twitter and Instagram are really good platforms to be able to get people healthier, and obviously talking to people like yourself give us the ability to do it too. But it's they're incredible times, but we have to look after ourselves, we have to look after our bodies and our mental health, and keep some structure in our day. It's really, really crucial.
Do you know what, when you're at home, and maybe you don't have this because you're very disciplined and all of that, but when you're at home and you've got the big shop in, and there are, I know there shouldn't be, but there are crisps and there are biscuits and that, and you've nothing to do and you're sitting down and you're going for a walk and you're trying to clean the press and whatever, it's very hard to stop snacking. It's like, it's just a habit nearly. You have it kind of in your hand and in your mouth before you realise you've nearly done it. And you're, because you're not distracted by work and other things and neighbours calling and socialisation, that it's such a habit. How can you stop us, Carl? Help.
Yeah, it is. So we call that grazing, and it's literally like that. It's grazing all day long, and having bits of this and bits of that. Before you know it, you've forgotten about half the food that you've had, and you're eating out of boredom in many respects. And also, it's quite comforting as well. So, structure is a key thing for me, both personally and in terms of work. So your day needs structure, especially if you're at home now, and your food is no different. So it's breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, dinner, and having that structure throughout the day, pretty much every 3 hours, keeps your blood sugars nice and stable, gives you structure around food and around meal times, and it'll help you to avoid the worst of that. And I suppose the same rule applies with, you know, whatever comes into the house generally is going to get eaten. So when you are doing your food shop responsibly, you know, keep to buying healthy stuff. Just because these are, you know, tough times doesn't mean we have to go for the treats and stuff. Keep eating healthily, getting the right fuel into the body, it'll help you sleep better, it'll help you concentrate better. You know, and to avoid grazing is really, really important. So just keep that structure. I'll give you breakfast and a snack about 3 hours later, some nuts or some fruit, lunch, a snack, and then dinner as well. And just, you know, try and keep that structure as much as you possibly can. And just be careful what's coming into the house. You know, that's the food shop is so important. What comes in gets eaten. So whatever's in the food shop, try and keep it as healthy as you can.
I was just told there that the Operation Transformation app is still live.
It
That's
is.
Really
we have
good.
Lots of requests for people looking at how can I exercise. Well, the Operation Transformation doesn't stop, and it goes all year round. So if you go to the App Store, put in Operation Transformation, you'll see the app there. You can download it. You can follow it there. There's 8 weeks worth of plans of every single day of food and exercise. They're free.
Oh, I think I've lost Carl, but I know what he was saying. The Operation Transformation app is still there. We get back to Carl in a while, but thanks very much, Carl Henry. And remember, I think that's a great idea, that app still being there, because it is really helpful. But last week on the programme, Mike McLaughlin decided to use the power of Twitter to help salvage something of the St. Patrick's Day parades that have been cancelled. RTE got behind the idea, and you can contribute on social media using hashtag RTE Virtual Parade. Mike, how's it all going? Is it going well?
Hey Brenda, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, it's going well so far. Yeah, we've had a lot of reach out from a lot of places around the country. So I'd say from Donegal and Derry right down to Kerry and Cork. So there seems to be a lot of interest in having a bit of fun tomorrow. Yeah.
And where did you come up with this idea? Because I've heard of it now. It's really reached a lot of places.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I mean, I'm not going to take the only credit. There was probably a lot of people had the same idea around the same time. But basically, when I was online and the first news came in that the parades were getting cancelled, I have a lot of friends that, you know, are involved in various community groups and would have been building floats for the parade and organising groups of kids to take part in the parade and that. And there's a lot of expense left on it as well. You know, a lot of these groups are voluntary and they've pumped their own fundraising into it for the last couple of months. So it's like, how do we do something for these kids while they're going to be at home so that they still get a bit of recognition and, you know, a boule of us from everybody.
So how can people get involved, Mike?
So literally, I mean, there's so many different groups sitting out there, and I've seen so many great suggestions already. I've seen one group saying that they're going to do a round of applause, I think at 12 o'clock for the healthcare workers, and others are going to sing songs and that. I know my own neighbourhood are organising that we're all going to put artwork up in the windows and do a reverse St. Patrick's Day parade. So we're going to walk around the estate, you know, practice our social distancing, but walk around the estate and admire what's in all the neighbours' windows as we go around for the day. So we'll walk the parade rather than the parade comes past us. But what we're going to do online is RTE Virtual Parade is the hashtag, wherever you want, be it Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, wherever, and share what you want, when you want. I'm going to be looking out for a couple of the different hashtags as well and just try and merge it all back in, because I know there's tags going, for example, like the Cork Parade, the Limerick Parade, Dublin Parade, all have their own hashtags as well. But we'll try and merge as much of it together as possible to make sure everybody gets a load of visibility and a round of applause.
You know, it's a great idea for kids who are kind of at home. They can make a few costumes. They can parade around the kitchen, out the back garden, wherever it's safe for them to do that, and put it up and see it then online. And they can have just a still a little bit of a sense of Patrick's Day. So good luck with the idea, Mike.
Thanks so much, Brenda. And thanks for the shout out for it and helping it get a bit more reach as well.
Not at all. We do it again. Hashtag RTE Virtual Parade. Why not, as they say, give it a lash? Thanks, Mike. All right, he's gone. Let's take a piece of music. Rocky Took a Lover, Bell X1. And I'm now joined on the line from the other side of the RTE campus by Nuala Carey. Nuala was due to be on the show today to chat about Daffodil Day. But as we know, things changed. Daffodil Day events are not going ahead, but people can still help out online. Nuala, how are you doing?
I'm okay, Brenda. I'm socially distancing myself from everybody over here, so I'm in a little room on my own. So I'm sending you a virtual hug.
Okay, back at you and all of that. What's it like? It's a very weird time, isn't it?
It's a little bit like, I feel, what it's like to work on Christmas Day. There's a skeleton crew of us over here in the TV centre, and if you see anybody, you kind of give them a nod and a little bit of a smile, but everybody's, you know, keeping going, but, you know, very upset about what has happened across the world and across Europe and what's happening here. But we're all in it together, and hopefully if we all pull together, we'll get through this.
You know, it's quite a nice image to think that you're kind of smiling at people at a distance. I know you're smiling at them on the telly because they still need the weather, but that is nice to keep smiling.
Well, that's all we can do. And I know people obviously are going out for walks, and that's become a big thing now, getting fresh air. So it's important to bring people the weather, and at least it's quite good.
Yeah. Like, just fill me in for the next few days.
Particularly from Wednesday onwards, it'll be generally dry. Now, it'll be cold, but people don't mind that. Wrap up well. And I even went for a walk yesterday in Dunleary, and the world and his wife was out.
And that's right. And can I just remind people, discoverireland.ie have good alternative routes than the regular ones, because they're getting very congested, particularly with Patrick's Day and all that on. Some beautiful walks in there. Now, you were due to come on the show to chat about Daffodil Day, but, you know, as we know, things have changed. What can people still do? Because, God, it's such an important fundraising event for the Irish Cancer Society.
It really is, because they need 20 million each year. And on Daffodil Day, they would traditionally raise about 4 million. So it's a huge loss in one day. So what we're asking people to do, because people are so generous and so many families are affected by cancer, I don't want people to feel helpless. So if you go onto their website, cancer.ie, that's really the go-to. You can donate there. And there's also information about texting and donations will go from that, because obviously the Cancer Society at the moment, you know, their priority is looking after people affected by cancer and people worried about the coronavirus in
connection, and getting their treatment in the hospital and everything. Yeah. So they're quite distracted in terms of the whole fundraising thing. All arms are, I suppose, everything is on deck. All hands are on deck for. So when was Daffodil Day meant to be, by the way?
So it was Friday week. It was Friday the 27th. And last year, my mum and I had collected, because sadly my dad passed away from pancreatic cancer 16 months ago. So we again this year were gung-ho. We were going to collect once more. In fact, we were going to collect for the whole day this time, because we found people were so generous last year and we felt that we got something out of it as well. And also when we were collecting, people came up and told us their stories and we shared ours with them. so it's more than even just the donating. You know, everybody was helping each other.
Yeah.
So we were so disappointed that, again, this year we can't go out and shake the bucket. But if people go to the website, I don't want them to feel helpless. They can still get involved and they can still donate. And in fact, lots of people around the country now, I think, are doing big clear outs in their house. They're using this time, you know, maybe working from home, you know, if
presses,
they have a little bit of
books,
free time.
Toys, videos.
Exactly.
CDs,
yes,
all that, yeah. But
they can all be donated to charity shops.
I can't believe that it's 16 months since your dad passed away, because I do remember that time very well. And, you know, God, it goes so quickly, doesn't it?
It does. And ironically, Dad will be gone 16 months on Thursday.
Mm.
Dad passed away on the 18th of November 2018. He'll be 16 months gone this week. And Dad was sick for 16 months. So he's gone as long as he was sick. And, you know, that, I realise now, he was sick for a long time. When you're in the middle of it, you're only taking it one day at a time. But they were a tough 16 months. And the last 6 months was very hard. Dad was in hospital continuously down in St Vincent's Private in the Hawthorne ward. And the only thing I can say now, and my mum and my sisters all agree, thank God the coronavirus wasn't around. We wouldn't have been able to visit him, you know, in his final few months. And the worry on top of everything else, that's the only thing I can take for it, you know.
I know. Well, it is an ache, I think, for people not being able to visit
really
their loved
hard.
Ones. It's really hard.
For people.
I know, but that has to be done. It absolutely has to be done.
Well, it does. And listen, mobile phones are brilliant. We could all keep ringing each other. We can all keep WhatsApping each other, texting each other. And you're right, it has to be done. This is the only way we can do it. Keep away from each other. Everybody keep minding themselves. Keep washing your hands. My hands are nearly washed away now at this point, Brenda.
And come here. So I just want to remind people again. So Daffodil Day, like Make Wish, like many, many other charities, they're
the
losing out
mini
marathons, so much essential funding that provided incredible lifeline type services. So www.cancer.ie if you want to support. What you would have done for the Irish Daffodil Day, I presume, no matter how big or how small. And I just have one very quick thing to ask you, because we're coming up to the end of the programme. Is that fella still sending you flowers every day, the opening day of the Ploughing Championships?
He is. But you know what the big
conundrum is
now, Brenda?
What?
I got this beautiful doll sent into RTE on Valentine's Day, and she really looks like me. She's absolutely
that's
beautiful.
That's weird, sorry. That's too
we
weird. I have to go. No,
from.
That's too
we
weird.
Who it's from. Put a call out.
Wait, that is too weird, Nuala. Anyway, look, you've made a great point and appreciate that. Keep up the amazing work. Keep smiling. Keep your distance. And thanks for talking to us on the programme today. That's Nuala Carey there. Well, look, we are out of time. Enjoy St. Patrick's Day. Massive thank you to the team here. And Mary Wilson is up next with Drive Time, with the very latest from all around the world and Ireland.